Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. We're back after a long hiatus. I had some tests I had to study for at work, and then after that, I got a promotion at work, so I had to study for that as well. So it's been kind of crazy at work, so we've taken a little bit of a break, but we are back and going to be on a much more regular schedule. We'll call this kind of the second go-around of this.
Yeah, should be good. Fortunately, this has been a time where there has been less sports or less regular sports than a lot of other times. As things are a little bit more regular, there's been a lot of exciting things happen, and we're excited to talk about them.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, excited to be back on a more regular schedule. Today we're going to talk about an article I'm writing that should be up within a couple days on the website, mjdoubletake.com. It's an NFL draft article about perfect prospects for, like, late-round prospects for every NFL team. Someone that's not going to go in the first round, but is a good fit for every team and should be able to contribute right away. We'll start off really quick, though. We have to mention a couple things NBA-wise. Utah Jazz are in first place. They're crushing it. I think they beat Milwaukee twice. They beat Miami and Boston. I think it's going to be the Jazz and the Lakers. I think both those teams can beat the Clippers. So I think that will most likely be the conference finals. I don't know about the East, but I think the West is kind of locking up pretty well.
Yeah, the Jazz are playing really, really, really well. I do want to wait and see because I know the Kawhi Leonard and Paul George can turn it off. There's been a lot of Paul George hate recently, understandably so. But he's still a phenomenal, phenomenal basketball player. And so if they get into a groove right towards the end of the season, they are a team that definitely can be dangerous. The reason that everybody thought the Clippers were going to be so good and were the favorites for the title contenders is because there's not really an answer for Kawhi Leonard. And so whatever it is that you are going to do to stop Kawhi Leonard, and then you've got another really big three in Paul George, who's a good shooter, that's really going to be hard for anybody to defend. As of right now, I'm taking the Jazz in the conference finals. But I want to, make sure that we're still respecting the Clippers until we've beaten them.
Paul George has become almost rated almost, because of how bad he's been in the playoffs. Yeah, and the Jazz haven't played the Lakers or the Clippers yet, so there'll be a bunch of late-season matchups with those three. Yes,
which will change by the end of the week.
And Denver is good as well. I think that's the top four. I think Denver is another team that could beat any of those three. I don't think they will, but yeah, they're good enough where they can.
Right, yeah, and I think those are definitely going to be our top four. Because, people thought Dallas were going to take a leap. They have not. Houston has played, I think, better than a lot of people have expected, especially defensively. But I don't think they have the offense to keep up with a lot of those other teams. And then the Trailblazers, like, once again, have had the worst injury luck of any team in the league.
They're interesting, yeah. So we'll see what happens. But it's going to be a good few months until the playoffs start. Let's talk some football.
Let's talk some football.
I love the NFL draft so much. So we're going to be doing a lot of that up until April. Let's just go through the article a little bit, Matt.
Yeah, I do want to go through the article. So when we've done this in the past, I have had teams that I'm interested in, and I always like to ask you about those teams. I always make you talk about the Eagles. But to start, you obviously know the article better than me. Who are one or two teams or players that you think might be particularly surprising or interesting for people?
I think most of these players, I don't think a lot of people are going to have heard of or at least have watched a lot of, like James Hudson from Cincinnati. I imagine he's an offensive tackle from Cincinnati.
Sure, yes. And we should, real quick before you go, we should preface this by saying these are players who are not going to go in the first round.
Yeah, I tried to, if they have a shot at going in the first round, I tried to leave them out. So there's a couple guys who will probably go in the second, but trying to do guys who people don't know. So most of these people are going to be people you haven't heard of, or at least have maybe heard the name but not watched a whole lot.
Right, exactly.
Because so, everyone does the first round, you know?
Yeah.
Try to switch it up a little bit.
That's good. And then you can be at your draft party with your friend and be like, hey, I've heard of Andre Sisco before.
I love Andre Sisco. Yeah, if you're in the fifth round and they draft someone who is on the list, you're like, I know that guy.
There you go.
But yeah, so that was kind of the main goal. There are a couple quarterbacks, so everyone's going to hear of them. But other than that, just people who either good system fit, not going to go in the first round, but can still contribute to a team from starting as a rookie.
Yeah.
But yeah, James Hudson, we can just start with James Hudson. I mentioned his name. He's an offensive tackle from Cincinnati. I am going to the Dolphins. He's sown probably the third round, maybe the fourth round. He's super athletic, pretty still learning the position. Still learning, but let's say Miami drafts Penei Sewell. They're either going to draft Penei Sewell or a receiver with that third pick unless they trade out of it. But even if they get Sewell, he's the left tackle, let's say. Hudson could play right tackle. He could play guard. I think he can be an NFL left tackle. So he's a good project pick, and Miami needs two or three guys along the offensive line anyway. So drafting Sewell wouldn't prohibit them from getting someone like James Hudson later on.
That makes a lot of sense, especially with Miami trying to build around a young quarterback. I feel like you definitely want to make sure you get protected. How good do you think that this iteration of the Dolphins can be?
Like 2021 going forward?
Yeah, going forward, I mean, like considering that they've probably got 3 to 5, 6 years before most of the players rotate out.
Well, I think they're good. They have the best cornerback pairing in the NFL with Byron Jones and Xavier Howard, so that's obviously a great place to start. Mm-hmm. They have good, not great playmakers. Devontae Parker's good. I like their running back group. Miles Gaskin, who was great at Washington, had a solid year for him. Got hurt a little bit there at the end. But they need to shore up the offensive line and kind of the front seven on the defense as well, and still continue to add some more playmakers in the secondary. So they're not there yet, but with two on his rookie deal, if they can keep developing the roster like they have, and especially if their secondary is as good as it is, continues to grow there, get better offensive line, and then maybe another playmaker, another wide receiver, I think they can, within a couple of years, depends on what happens with Buffalo, because that's obviously the best team in that division. But if Tua develops and plays a lot better than he did this year, I think they have a good shot to win the division and be contenders for a few years while he's on his rookie deal.
Awesome. Well, that actually brings me to the one of the teams I want to ask you about, the Bills, which is not usually a segue that happens, that somebody wants to talk about the Bills. But I am interested because I think that they are going to be the best challenger to the Kansas City Chiefs, at least in the AFC, for the next 2 years. So what are the Bills going to do, and how likely is it that they can beat the Chiefs in a playoff game?
Well, to beat the Chiefs in a playoff game, you need to be able to cover, so you cannot have enough corners. So that's why in this list I have them getting Cameron Bynum, a cornerback from Cal, who, and I mentioned this in the article, but he played at Cal in 2019. He played against Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State and matched up with him pretty well the whole game. Does a great job of keeping his eyes in the backfield, but still being able to shadow the receiver, so he's never surprised by anything. He's scheme versatile, which is great for Buffalo because they run a few different schemes. And Tre'Davious White, the Buffalo corner now, is great. But other than that, there's no one you wouldn't try to improve on in the secondary. So they should draft, I think, a couple more defensive backs because you got to outscore Kansas City and you got to be able to cover all of their weapons is really should be the main focus on any team in their division or any team in the AFC.
Yeah, and I think because that's got to be their goal. It's funny because for so long their goal has been beat the Patriots, beat the Patriots, beat the Patriots. And now they're not going to have to worry about the Patriots, at least for the foreseeable future.
Right, now it's kind of Kansas City. So the trouble Buffalo is because they're so good, they could think, oh, we're just like one running back away or one like playmaker away instead of continuing to draft playmakers at critical positions like defensive back, receiver, offensive line. They've drafted two running backs in the last couple of years with Zach Moss and then Devin Singletary, 2020 and 2019 respectively. So they have a good running back group already. Let's not add to that. Let's, again, attack important positions, especially figuring that you got to play Kansas City. And that's who you're going to have to go through to get where you want to go.
Right.
And Bynum's a great player. So I think he'll go probably third or fourth round, if I'd bet the fourth. But I like him at Cal, so he should be solid wherever he ends up.
We'll look for him then.
Yeah.
So let's stay in the AFC. And I guess the way that we'll phrase this question is, whose career are the Houston Texans going to ruin by drafting them?
Well, I don't know how to actually pronounce this guy's name, so I'll apologize to him in advance. But they have one of the worst rosters in the NFL, so they just need to. It's the opposite problem with the Bill, but same result. Get as many playmakers, take as many swings as you can. Someone they could get is Hamza Nasirildin. Is that a good way?
Sure.
Safety from Florida State.
Safety from Florida State.
He mostly played safety, but he did match up in the slot and play man-to-man defense. So that's his versatility, I think, will allow him to get on the field as a rookie. Even with Texans, what they've been doing is getting guys who have been drafted in the first round with other teams that didn't work out, trying to bring them there. It's not the worst idea in the world, but they still need to try to take swings on their own guys. So I think his Nasirildin's, again, sorry if I mispronounced that, physicality, versatility, being able to match up, play man, play cover two, things like that. He can get on the field as a rookie and help him out.
Cool. Now, with the Houston Texans, the problem, and you can correct me, the problem seems to be just that the players have lost faith in the ownership, which is fair because of the DeAndre Hopkins trade, that trade they made with who's the offensive lineman for Miami?
Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah, Laremy Tunsil, which that trade did not really work out. J.J. Watt has left. Deshaun Watson would very much like to leave. So is it possible that the ownership group can win back the trust of the Texans? Is it as simple as getting a new general manager? What do we think?
Yeah, I think Jack Easterby is going to have to go, and I don't even know what his role is, but he's kind of the guy who brought in Nick Caserio as the general manager now. He seems kind of like the puppet master for the McNairs, who are the owners of the Houston Texans. And from what we've seen, obviously we don't have sources with the Houston Texans, but from what we can see, Easterby seems to be the problem, the root of everything. So the problem before, and you mentioned a lot of this, was Bill O'Brien, who I think is a good coach, but as a general manager, just didn't know what he was doing. The same thing, like Chip Kelly had 2-10-6 seasons with the Eagles,
yeah,
but he had no idea how to build a roster as a general manager, and that's why you saw those Philadelphia players leave by choice or got traded or cut, and that's kind of what sealed his deal in the NFL. So same thing happened to Bill O'Brien, and the Texans are left. They'd be picking third if they wouldn't have done the Laremy Tunsil trade. That Miami pick that's 3 overall is from Houston.
Really?
So think what they could get. Instead of having Laremy Tunsil, they could draft Penei Sewell or Jamar Chase or trade back because your roster's so depleted and get a ton more picks. But just bad trades like that. So I think it'll take a few years before they're kind of serious as either a contender or like at least a destination for free agents where you're not kind of laughing stock. It'll depend on how the Deshaun Watson thing goes. Yeah. I think obviously you don't want to trade him because he's like a top 3 quarterback in the NFL, but I say kind of trade him, start over. If he doesn't want to be there that bad, you just got to cut it loose and get it over with.
Yeah. And what is good for them is that we just had Matt Stafford get traded pretty recently and get what I thought was a pretty good NFL draft package. Trade packages in the NFL have not historically been like the NBA where you're getting 4 first-round picks or like right now where you can get 7 or 8 first-round picks and pick swaps. That's not really happening in the NFL. And I think Deshaun Watson is certainly more valuable than Matt Stafford. So I do think there's an opportunity to get 3-4 first-round draft picks, maybe some second or third round picks, which are a lot more valuable in the NFL than the NBA too. So I think they're – so yeah, that is probably what I would do, especially because it's going to take them a long time to get back to winning anyway.
Yeah, I think the teams that I've seen that – because Deshaun Watson has a no-trade clause, so he has to approve it. The teams I've seen are 49ers, which I would love because I'm a Niners fan, I haven't seen this from Deshaun, but like Dallas, because of their Dak Prescott situation, they could do a Dak for Deshaun flip, plus Dallas would obviously have to send some things over to Houston. Miami, because they have the draft capital, is a realistic opportunity. So we'll see what happens, but...
Any way that the Eagles could swap Carson Wentz for Deshaun Watson, is that going to be possible?
Well, no. No, they can try to trade for him, but I think even if that happened, I don't think Wentz would be in the package. I think Wentz would still go to Chicago or Indy probably, and then that'd just be a separate deal with Deshaun Watson.
Well, then we would have to give up a lot then, so I don't know how much that
exists. You're right, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, let's do one more in the AFC for now. We may end up coming back. But this season, I was interested in the Chargers because Justin Herbert played well. And sort of not really as a disclaimer, I just want to say that, I forget his name, which might be proving my point, but the quarterback who had the shot in his chest, puncture of the lung.
Tyrod Taylor
has had the most unlucky, been so unfairly treated by the teams that he's been on. He's a good quarterback, and he deserves to start somewhere. That being said, Justin Herbert played very well this season, and so I'm excited to see what the Chargers can do to develop around him, because he seems like he's going to be maybe not the best quarterback in the NFL, but a very good quarterback for a long time, much like Philip Rivers.
Yeah, and I'll admit I was wrong about Justin Herbert. He looked so much better than he ever did at Oregon. At Oregon, you could just see the physical tools, but he really improved. Whatever he did in the offseason last year worked, because he's a completely different quarterback, and Chargers, good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them. As far as what they need and who I sent them, I gave them De'Ami Brown, a receiver from North Carolina. The Chargers they need to address offensive line, probably. Defensive line as well, but they have a good secondary, good linebacker core. Receiving wise, they got Keenan Allen, who's obviously a stud. I think probably the best route runner in the NFL. But other than that, their receivers I don't love. There's kind of a bunch of like C guys. De'Ami Brown is, sorry, I have the hiccups. I think the best deep route runner in the country. So like post routes, double moves, seam routes, things like that. It's so much more than just being fast. There's so much leverage and body control and manipulating the defensive back that goes into it, and he does it so well. And he can run every route, so he's not just a deep threat, but his ability to get open and create separation going deep, I think, would just give Justin Herbert so much more flexibility. Because, again, Keenan Allen's a great route runner, so adding someone who the defense truly has to respect, as he can take the top off at any play. But that's not his only ability, and De'Ami Brown would be perfect for the Chargers. I think he'd be a great fit there with Justin Herbert and the rest of the offense that's already there. And I'll watch North Carolina probably more than any team this year, so De'Ami Brown might be my favorite player in the draft. I love what he does, love how he runs routes. He'd be great really anywhere, but I think Los Angeles would be a great fit both ways.
Okay. Cool. I like that. Well, let's go now to the team that I've been waiting for. So as far as teams who are just like up in flames right now, Houston Texans have got to be number one. The Jets, we're not going to count in this discussion because they just always stink and are always poorly managed, so it's not really worth talking about them. Eagles might be, I think, are a lot closer behind the Texans than a lot of people might think. What can the Eagles do to get back on track?
Figure out Carson Wentz, hire a different coach than you did, and draft right.
Yeah. Okay. And so everything.
Yeah, basically
they
everything.
They need to do everything. Okay. And so before, because I do want to hear who you put for the draft, but why has Eric Bieniemy not been anybody's coach? I would have wanted him to be our coach. I wanted that very much.
I don't know. I honestly, I just think at this point, NFL owners are trying to prove that they're smarter than the media. I think they're just making a point, honestly. I think they're just being stubborn. I can't think of anything else.
Yeah. Because I'm sure that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are thrilled that this is happening. Like, right. Patrick Mahomes, I'm sure, loves having Eric Bieniemy around.
Right. And yeah, again, it's not like I honestly don't get it, because like we saw, like Robert Saleh from the 49ers got hired by the Jets, so it's not like they're only, well, basically they are only hiring white people, but like there were one or two minority guys who did get coaching positions this year, but the fact that it's not more than that, and Bienemy is just kind of the highlight to the main point that it should be way more than what it is now, and Bienemy's been coordinating. Now, being a coordinator obviously doesn't mean you're going to be a good head coach. It's more than just calling the play. But what Bienemy's role is in Kansas City, like, should be like a no-brainer. So I literally just think NFL owners are are being stubborn. I don't know what else it would be.
And the reason that I bring up Eric Bienemy is because a lot the people who do not like the rule, do not like these sorts of things, they think of these diversity hires as pity hires, or as people who are cutting the line, or who don't deserve the job. That's, I think, if you look at it, a extremely flawed argument. The thing with Eric Bieniemy, though, is it's so clear that he's the best candidate.
Yeah.
Like,
easily. And, like, I, like, one team, one quote-unquote anonymous team said he, like, didn't interview well. Nick Sirianni wore, like, a Hawaiian shirt to his interview, and the Philadelphia Eagles, also, like, they just dress casual as well to, quote-unquote, make him feel better.
Mm-hmm.
It's stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, interviewing well, like, isn't just on whoever gets interviewed. Like, whoever does the interview has a lot of say in that or impact on that as well.
You know who I'm sure did not have a good interview?
Who?
Bill Belichick. Do you think he did good in his interview?
I would actually love to see that. I'd love to see Nick Saban in an interview.
Yeah. Like, it just, okay. Well, anyway, let's be done with that, because I do, who are the Eagles gonna draft? Who's the first brick in our rebuilding process?
Well, hopefully it's not Micah Parsons, linebacker from Penn State, who's the best linebacker prospect this year, in the last few years, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But the Eagles, with the sixth pick, should either get a cornerback or a receiver, because that's really been the main problem, is cornerbacks and receivers. Why I really think they've been struggling. They haven't been able to cover anyone, and they haven't been able to get open. Carson Wentz, one of his best receivers, was a quarterback in college, Greg Ward, who's great. I actually think he's a good NFL player, but like, drafts just haven't panned out. They really even haven't attacked secondary that well. They've tried to draft receivers, and it just hasn't worked out. So with the first pick, the sixth overall pick is where they're drafting. They might draft Micah Parsons because linebacker's the biggest need, quote-unquote, but they should really get, like, Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech, or cornerback, Jalen Waddle, receiver from Alabama, who I think will be available. Kyle Pitts would be intriguing, the tight end from Florida. Someone who can make a difference, either in the secondary or the receiver, because there are linebackers they can get later in the rounds, like KJ Britt, who's my favorite linebacker prospect from from Auburn. He's physical, he's downhill. He's tough. I loved how he played at Auburn, and I think he could be an upgrade for the Eagles, but later in the round, so he can attack a position of value within the first round.
I'll tell you what, I'd be happy with a cornerback. I just feel like we've drafted receivers in the first round every year for the past 20 years, and I feel like we should just try something different.
I think they need to do receiver or corner. I think they should honestly draft at least two of each in this draft, at least two receivers, at least two cornerbacks, and then linebacker, offensive line, you know, other than that normal stuff. But they do need to draft one or two linebackers, or at least get a healthy free agency. KJ Britt could be a late round option that can do that for him.
Yep. Well, as long as we get some tools for Nick Foles, then I'll be happy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
God. All right. Well, how about so that's my favorite team. How about you tell me about your favorite team, the 49ers? They were in the Super Bowl not this year, but the year before. So how do we get back?
Well, I'd love him to get in the first round Kyle Pitts from Florida, the tight end. I don't think he'll be there at 12. So I gave him Trey McKitty from Georgia, and like they get him like the sixth or seventh round. He transferred from Florida State, so actually most of his production and his video was at Florida State. He's a big tight end. He's a good route runner. Why I like him on the Niners, though, is he's so good after the catch. He's dynamic with the ball, and Kyle Shanahan is obsessed with those guys. And getting a second tight end who you can leave on the field the whole time with George Kittle, what that allows them to do is they can go in 12 personnel, so like two tight ends and a running back or five wide without substituting. So defenses have to be in their base formation. So you're going to be covering McKitty and George Kittle with a linebacker. So, like, literally impossible to defend because you can't cover George Kittle with a linebacker, mm-hmm. you know? So I'd love him to get a second tight end and make the offense unstoppable, yeah. even with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I think they should be good. And then there's also the strong possibility that Garoppolo is not the quarterback. Maybe you do have Deshaun Watson. Maybe you have...
Which, if they can somehow get Deshaun Watson and keep Nick Bosa and then get someone like McKitty, they're probably going to have to give their first-round pick, so they won't get Pitts for sure. But if they can get Watson and keep Nick Bosa, I think they're the best team right away in the NFC.
Really? Wow.
Well, think of Deshaun Watson and Kyle Shanahan's offense.
Yeah. All right. And they still got that really good defense. That was still good this year.
Like, the best quarterback Kyle Shanahan has ever had was Matt Ryan, and the Falcons just ran through everybody until the Super Bowl that year. Mm-hmm. So think if they had Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Whew.
Be fun.
Be unbelievable.
Be a lot of fun. Okay. All right. So those are, I think, the teams I wanted to talk about. Who is there? Anybody else? Something that you think might surprise people? Something you think that people should be watching for in the draft?
Again, so the full article with every team going to come out in a couple days. We'll keep you posted as far as the website. But one player I love is Kylan Hill from Mississippi State, running back. I'm going to the Jets because I don't want them to draft a running back in the first round. I'd love them to wait until, like, the fifth round to get Kylan Hill. He can play. He's a three-down back in the NFL. He can play running back as far as, like, between the tackles running. But he just spent the past year in pass protection and running routes with Mike Leach's offense. He's a great route runner for a running back. He's creative with the ball in his hands, fun to watch. I think he'd be someone who could help. It's not a bad receiving core. They still need to attack it, but it's not a bad group of receivers. But if they get one more receiver than Kylan Hill at running back, plus use all those other draft picks to add to the secondary offensive line, the Jets could be much better than if they went Travis Etienne in the first round and someone else in the fifth round.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, running backs are those. I feel bad for the running backs. I feel like when we talk about this stuff, we're kind of getting at their money, but it just does not seem to make sense to draft running backs early. Even like a Saquon Barkley or a
Zeke Elliott. McCaffrey.
I was going to say Zach Elliott. I was like, I know it's not Zach Elliott. But the point is, like, yeah, Zeke was doing really good when the Cowboys had the offensive line. Their offensive line is not so good anymore. He's not so good anymore either.
Right. Like, obviously you'd rather have, like, LaDainian Tomlinson than anybody else, or like you'd rather have a Saquon Barkley than not a Saquon Barkley, but running back's value is just the most dependent position on other players in the league. So if you want to improve the running game, it makes more sense to draft an offensive lineman than a running back because that's going to have a bigger impact on your running game.
Right.
So it's not that you want a bad one, it's just value wise, you can get like an undrafted dude or fifth round dude. Like Alvin Kamara was in the third round. And that's even high, but like you didn't have to go in the first round or anything like that. Right. Like you can find guys later where if you have a good offense, good offensive line, you can find productive running backs.
Yeah, exactly.
So it makes more sense to go cornerback, quarterback, receiver, offensive line, something like that.
Yeah, that's true. Because Derrick Henry, I know he was in the first round, but I don't even think he was like a top five guy, wasn't he?
Actually, yeah, I don't remember where he got picked.
I thought he was in the 20s.
Henry draft. He was second round. I forgot. Yeah.
He was in the second round. Yeah, and he's clearly the best running back, or certainly the most productive running back in the NFL right now.
And that's even high. Yeah, and like all the Niners running backs, they're undrafted dudes. Mm-hmm. And that's the best, I think most people say, just running attack overall in the NFL. The Rams have drafted feel like a running back every year, and if they draft an offensive line, I feel like they'd have a better run game.
But I thought Sean McVay was a messiah of coaches. I thought he knew everything.
Well, he is, but Les Snead isn't the messiah of general managers. They're apparently giving up on first round picks. They're not going to have one for like 7 years in a row.
Right. Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. Yeah, no, I think they just saw, okay, the Dodgers are winning. the Lakers are winning. We got to join the club. We got to win too. And I just don't think it's going to work, unfortunately.
Stafford will be good, though. I'm excited to see Stafford in that offense.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But, yeah, so MJDoubleTake.com. This will be up, like I said. And we'll be back to a more regular schedule. We're going to try to do two or three times a month, at least once a month. We're going to do something. We got a few things in the works coming up. Matt, anything before we go?
Just, if you're not watching the Jazz, watch the Jazz.
Jazz are great this year. I'd love to see it. Yeah, that's it. Appreciate everybody listening, and we will talk to you guys later.